Welcome to Lugano Peakhurst Uniting Online Church on this Sunday, 22nd of November 2020. In the church calendar, we've reached the end of the counting the Sundays after Pentecost, and we don't start the period of Advent till next week. So today is called Christ the King, or the Reign of Christ. I'm Alan Finlay, I'm a member of Lugano Peakhurst Uniting. And later in this service, Lucita is going to read the Bible, and Kerry will lead us in prayers for others. Visiting us today, we have our Mission and Leadership Presbytery Minister, Reverend Matangi Vilatama, and he will bring us this week's message. The theme for today is Christ among sheep and goats. For our call to worship, I've chosen some verses from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. The Lord shall reign forever to all generations. Praise the Lord. I invite you now to join me in prayer. Almighty God, we praise your holy name and we praise you for the wonders of your creation. Merciful Lord, we sometimes forget you in the busyness of our daily lives and we sometimes don't treat you or our neighbours as we should. We ask for your Holy Spirit to renew our hearts and our minds as we turn from our wrongdoing and worship you this day. Loving Lord, grant us an understanding of your word and help us to renew our commitment to dedicate our lives in service to you. Amen. Let us worship and praise God by singing if you are worshipping alone or listening if you are with others. To our first song, As the Deer Pants.
Alone are my heart's desire and I long My name is Lucida, and the Bible reading today is Matthew 25, 31 to 46. The sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. I'm so pleased to be part of your service this morning. And thank you, Ilong and Richard, for inviting me to present the message to you this morning. My name is Matai. I have been introduced, and I am the Mission and Leadership Presbytery Minister for Georges River. And part of my role is to visit the congregations and bring greetings from the whole presbytery. But the opportunity to preach to you this morning the word, and my reflection is based on the lectionary readings of Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. But there's also another reading that I might refer to slightly in the sermon. It's from Ezekiel 34, verses 11 to 24. I come from the island called Niue, and at some other stage in our journey, I will share more about Niue. But for now, I'm going to start with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Ever gracious God, we thank you for an opportunity to share your word, the gospel, to our brothers and sisters who are watching from home. And as I reflect on your word, may your spirit take your word, enter each home, each heart, and bring comfort and encouragement to all who listen. May the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I said earlier I come from the island of Niue, and that's a very small island in the middle of Polynesia in the Pacific. And in Niue we don't have any sheep, we don't have any goats. But in our reading today it's about sheep and goat in the parable of Jesus. I always wondered about my ancestors who first received the gospel 170 odd years ago. I wondered about how they listened to this parable being preached to them. And I also wondered about the preacher. The description of this particular parable and what animals in Niue did he or she replace sheep and goat with? We don't have that many animals on the island. But I'm interested because we have no idea why sheep are good or goats are not good. Why there is a distinction when Jesus separates them and say, these are saved and these are not. But it's important for us to dig deep into the word and try to understand it from its context. When I read this parable, and at face value, it appears to be one of the most straightforward and unambiguous things Jesus ever shared. But the more I think and preach on this parable, the more questions I ask of it, as you shall see as I attempt to explain in this reflection. But I want you and I to wrestle together with the text this morning. Like many followers of mainline religions, we also put people in two categories, the good and the bad, the righteous and sinners, the saved, and those who are going to hell. These are the categories that we put them in. And it seems that this is what the parable is affirming, represented by the sheep who are the good ones going to heaven and the goats, those who are condemned to hell. Now, some of us are not comfortable with those words, with those terms, but this is what we have in this parable today. Now, many Christians may beg to differ from the description of categories. Some think that as Christians we don't categorize people. But if we look deeply into ourselves and throughout our history as a church, we also find that we are very divided. We divide people into those categories. Think of the Christian crusades in the medieval period. And also the colonizing approach to evangelism in the 18th up to 20th century. Even with our Christian institutions today, we categorize ourselves into parties and plays out into our social and political affiliations. Classic example is the current United States election debacle today. The end result is more division, more hatred, more victimizing, and an endless spiral of conflict, and also lead to bloodshed in some cases. Which is sad, because one of Jesus' clearest messages was that God's love and mercy were for everyone, and there were no one, and there were no more insiders or outsiders. Jesus' message is about inclusivity. One of the things that got him into most trouble and led him to the cross was his steadfast refusal to cooperate with the religious divisions between the clean and the unclean, the acceptable and the unacceptable. And the first apostles picked up this theme strongly too, especially Paul, the apostle. If we had read another reading from our lectionary today from Ephesians chapter 2, we would have heard one of Paul's classic teachings about how Jesus is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is the hostility between us, reconciling both groups to God in one body through the cross. Ephesians 2, verse 14 and 16. But there is a challenge to this undergirding teaching of Jesus. The problem is that however much Jesus and the apostles talk about breaking down the dividing wall and reconciling everybody to God in one body, so that there is no more Jew nor Gentile, male or female, slave nor free, nor any other division of insiders and outsiders. In this story of the Last Judgment, we have Jesus himself depicted as dividing the people into sheep and goats, insiders and outsiders, saved and the damned. You can't get more utterly divided up and unconciled than, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And depart from me, you that are accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Now, this is confusing, right? I don't think I'm the only one. Isn't Jesus supposed to be the friend and companion of victims and outcasts? But in this passage, comes back to divide everybody up in and create new category, a new class of cosmic eternal victims and outcasts. It's hard for me to reconcile this. And I don't have the answer. I'm a minister. I study the Word. But the more I think about it, the more confused I am. But it leads me to search deeper. It leads me deep into the parable. Let me share my takeaway from this parable. Whatever we might think about this story, it does not give us any justification for going about the task of dividing people up into saints and sinners ourselves. We must read this story alongside other parables from the same gospel, for example. There's an example in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. In that parable, Jesus acknowledges that the good and bad grow up alongside each other. Even in the church. But he warns us against any attempt to weed out the bad right now, because we would have trouble telling which is which, and we would uproot the good in our attempts to weed out the bad. In that parable, and in this one, it is clear that whatever judgment there is to be, the judgment is not to be done, not now, not yet, and it's not our job to do the judging. So if your reading of this parable leads you to think that we can judge who is going to heaven and who is going to hell, I think we are reading it wrong. It's God's and God's alone. And that's a mystery that only God knows. But even if that's the way to be, it still leaves us with Jesus appearing to actively dividing and condemning people, which seems inconsistent to his fundamental teaching of bringing people together, breaking down barriers. Now, some of you may think that's his role as king, because today's Feast of Christ the King Sunday. He's the king. He has the authority to do that, to make the judgment according to his wisdom. But I'm still a little bit confused. Well, these are my thoughts. When Jesus said these things, I don't think his emphasis was on judgment. I don't think his emphasis was on hell. But to open his followers' eyes to those who had been cast out and abandoned by the powerful and the dominant, and to exhort his listeners to respond with love and compassion and hospitality. Now, this message is in line with the function of the prophets of old. Think of Jonah, for example. Against Jonah's will, he was sent to preach a message of judgment to the city of Nineveh. The apocalypse that Jonah foretold to Nineveh never actually eventuated. Why? Was Jonah a failed prophet? No, not at all. He was far more successful than he wanted to be, if we read that story. The point of the prophecy was not to predict an outcome, but to motivate Nineveh to repent and change. And it worked. They changed, and their city was saved, despite Jonah's desire to see them all burn in hell. So I think Jesus is communicating his message within a culture that is awash with apocalyptic stories of judgment. There are stories abound in his time about judgment, about burning, about heaven, the contrast between the two places. And Jesus, like other rabbis, would use these stories with these violent images and expectations. He tweaked them to suit his audience and what he wants to teach. That's what I think. So read this story as an exhortation to put faith into practice in the ways that we relate to others. I think this is the heart of Jesus' message for us today. It's about how he wants us to relate to those who have been cast out, abandoned by the world around us. Jesus identifies himself with the victims at the edge of society. He entered as fully into that identity as it is possible to do, hanging on the cross as a hungry, thirsty, naked, outcast prisoner. In this parable, he identifies himself so fully with all who have been similarly mistreated that he assures us that every time we encounter such a sufferer, we are encountering a living image of Christ himself, and we are to respond as if they were similar to Christ himself. We need to actively seek out these victims. Some are obvious and others are invisible, because we create systems that makes them so. We divide up our society and try to keep in place those in place where we can avoid them and keep them out of sight. And if that doesn't work, then we make a judgment, throw them into prison. In the parable, we note that Jesus speaks of an active seeking out of the victims. Active seeking out those who are at the fringe. He said, "I was in prison and you came and visited me." So we need to seek out those who are victims in our society. Those who are failed by our systems. From the First Nations peoples, the refugees in detention centers, etc., etc. Now Christ calls us to seek out those who are victims, who are rejects, and neglected, because wherever there is misery and brokenness, there is the Christ seeking our compassion and our hospitality. One exercise I always do during Bible studies is encouraging the participants to place themselves within the story and then share from their context what it feels like to be in that space. If you're one of the sheep, what does it feel like being one of the sheep in this story? Do you feel relief? Joy? Glad, pleased that you've done well and on the right side? What if you are one of the goats? Regretful, shaking in fear, knowing that eternal fire is waiting? What if you are the king and the judge? Now, this is not in the parable or even remotely implied in this story, but I would like for us to use our imaginations. I look back at the story and feel for the goats. Anyway, we don't have goats and sheep. We don't know what they're like, why the goats are being judged as bad or sheep as good. We come from an environment where we value every living creature. That every creature in God's creation is good. I feel for the goats, for those who have found themselves judged and condemned. Those who thought they were religious and righteous and who called Jesus Lord, but who now find themselves being sent across the hellhole of fire prepared for Satan and his angels. Placing ourselves in that story, I wondered about the end of the story, and I found from the book Proclaiming a Cruciform Eschaton by Friedrich Niebuhr, and I paraphrase this. Imagine. After the king had made the judgment and division, and the goats were being sent off to eternal punishment, the sheep cried out in protest. They cried out in protest because they saw in the goats exactly the same kinds of outcasts, victims they had been reaching out to in love and mercy and compassion. And because their love and mercy and compassion were real, they were heartbroken to see them being lost and damned. And they cried out to God and said, "No, no, Lord." And they reminded God of those images we heard in the reading from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 34. Images of the good shepherd who never gives up on his lost sheep, but who seeks them out and rescues them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And they cry out saying, "No, God, You can't write them off. If we can no longer reach out to them, you will have to go across the abyss yourself and seek them out and gather them back from every last hellhole of hatred and hostility and bitterness and callousness where they have been lost, and bring them back. No matter what it takes, no matter what it costs you, Lord. And after a long brooding silence, God slowly stands up and steps across the abyss and takes on human flesh, born of Mary, and begins the long journey searching through the world's darkest hellholes all the way to the cross. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the good shepherd, that you come among us and seek all who are lost. Help us to be as Christ to those around us. Help us to see those who are sitting in the streets. Help us to see those who are invisible but are victims of our society, they're victims of our structures. Help us as a church to recognize that you have called us to be as Christ, that we have the grace too to allow others to be as Christ to us. And we pray this in the name of Christ, the servant King. Amen.
Hello, my name is Kerry, and we now come to a time of prayer for others. Dear Father God, as we gather to praise and worship you today, we thank you for your steadfast love and support. We offer thanks for the lives of Brian Morrison, Sharon's mum Joan, and we pray for comfort and peace for their grieving families at this time of loss. Also in need of your healing and strength, we pray for Paul, Graham, Matt in England, Ruth Ponier, Joan Jordan and Bob Windham, and we pray for their loved ones who are caring for and about them. Lord, most of the members of LPUC have ongoing health concerns of some kind, so please assure all people of your love and comfort and provide them with medical staff and carers who work with professional integrity at all times. Lord, we continue to pray for an end to this pandemic. There are concerning outbreaks of COVID-19, unrest, accidents on the roads, and many natural disasters worldwide. Please bring calm, patience, and kindness to places where people are enduring loss of income, illness or abuse. We also pray for strength for the many people who are giving of their time and efforts to help others at this time. All levels of government, first responders, transport workers and hospitality workers are much needed in our community. On a local level, we pray for our ministry team led by Ilung, Natalie and our church councillors, for Richard and the members of Presbytery. Please lead them with your wisdom and discernment as they do their best to spread the good news of your love for all. The Peacoast Area School Scripture Board had its annual general meeting this past week. We pray for the two SRE teachers, John and Stephen, for the members of the board and the supporting churches. May this important work continue in 2021 as the students hear of your love and Jesus' teachings. Finally, Lord, we prayerfully remember our elderly friends who miss being able to see familiar people and places. Please assure them of your love and peace. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have some announcements to close. For those church members who can attend in person next Sunday on the 29th of November, there'll be a congregational meeting after church for confirmation of the minutes of the last annual general meeting last year, November, and the minutes of the special meeting of the congregational, which was held in March this year. To attend our Sunday services at 10:15, everyone needs to register with Beryl Bill via the phone or email, which should be shown on your screen. And also, everyone needs to follow the COVID-19 safety action requirements, such as social distancing, sanitising, cleaning and disinfecting the church. If you have any questions, please contact Ilung or Pamela on the numbers on the bottom of your screen. For those who don't come on Sunday mornings, the service will still be on the church website and on YouTube, and the emailed worship resource will be available as always. This is now an end of today's online church. If you are willing to get connected with us or simply have any questions or inquiries, please contact our minister, Ilung Kim, via the email or phone as it appears on your screen. And this is the blessing. As you go into the coming week, may you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And may you keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, and share with those who are in need. Amen. Thank you for your participation in today's online service, and thank you to all the people who took part in front of the camera or who worked behind the scenes. May God bless you and see you safely through the week. See you next time. I got no worries.